Hi, this is Julie Christensen with APSE. We're excited to launch the APSE Employment First, Employment for All podcast as a new way to connect with you. This podcast is a way to provide updates, real-time advocacy alerts, and information related to all things Employment First. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And thanks for listening.
Welcome to another episode of the National APSE podcast. We're pretty excited that it is National Disability Employment Awareness Month, and we are highlighting lots of different advocates and people with disabilities that have had success with employment and finding jobs that they want to be in. So today, we are meeting with Robert Jackson, and he lives in New Jersey currently, and he's going to tell us a little bit about his story on his road to employment. So thanks for being here, Robert. Do you mind introducing yourself and giving us a little background on yourself and kind of things that you have done along the way?
Yes, I sure would. Yes, my name is Robert Jackson. And like Erica said in the podcast, I live in New Jersey. I live in Mercer County, New Jersey. And the disabilities that I have are traumatic brain injury, autism spectrum disorder, auditory processing, Lyme disease, speech communication, and developmental disability. And my journey with employment started when I went to the Division of Vocational Rehab in the state of New Jersey, not too long after I graduated from high school. And the reason why I work with the Division of Vocational Rehab, because people with disabilities have a hard time finding employment and the jobs that they're interested in. And sometimes the reason why that happens is because their school experience wasn't that great. I know mine wasn't that great because the skills I later learned after I graduated from high school, that the skills that I learned weren't really preparing me for employment, nor college, nor vocational school, even though I did go to vocational school part-time when I was in high school, but it was geared toward students with special needs. And it, of course, was irrelevant to what was going on in life. So that's why I went to the Division of Vocational Rehab. And while I was working with the Division of Vocational Rehab, I did work with a job coach who helped me get a job, but the job wasn't a good match. And at that time, I wasn't aware of my personality, my strengths, or my weaknesses because I was fresh out of high school and didn't know what I wanted to do. And I had no career goals at the time. So I just took anything that came my way, which I shouldn't have done. What I should have done, I should have evaluated my skills. And I shouldn't have rushed it. But even though I did have a vocational assessment in high school, which was total nonsense because I was more capable of what my teachers and my counselors gave me credit for. And that's why most of the jobs that I had, I got on my own. Now, the jobs that I had started out with were in fast food, retail, temp agencies, and most of the jobs were low wages, didn't pay much, didn't have any benefits, and there was no job security. So as time went on, and the older I gotten, I felt this isn't what I want to do for the rest of my life. And I've gotten feedback from a lot of coworkers and telling me, you shouldn't be doing this when you're 50 and 60 years old. Because it's not a good career path, because anything can happen, and retail and fast food jobs aren't really careers, they're just jobs. Now I'm explaining what the difference is between a job and a career. A job is something that'll help you get changed, help you make money, and help you develop skills and help you get by just for that moment. Now, a career is something you have to plan for, which requires skills, sometimes education, or it depends. And a career is something you want to do for the rest of your life. As with a job, that's not the case with a job, because a job is not what somebody wants to do for the rest of their life. That's just a starting point in their walk. Now, I've decided in 2019, I did start out working for the state of New Jersey in the Department of Treasury. I've been there going on 12 years now, and I was in four different agencies. And after a while, I've gotten tired of going from bouncing from agency to agency, not being happy with this job, that job. So I decided to work with a mentor on a job through the Department of Treasury. I worked for the mentor for about a year. And we went over mock interviewing, assessments, that type of thing, We went over personality traits. So I've decided one day I wanted to be an information specialist and help people with disabilities find the resources that they need in the community. So I did some research on it. I took a few courses. And of course, I networked with other people who worked in the industry, in that industry, which is human services. I networked with somebody from the NJ Division on the New Jersey Council on Developmental Disabilities. And I put together a resume. I told him what I was looking for in a job, what skills I had. And despite the fact that I didn't go to college, it was a good match because my personality is ISFJ, which stands for introvert, feeling, sensing, and judgment, according to the Myers-Briggs assessment. And one of the career matches, when I did a career search, a career match, and one of the matches that popped up was human services. So I said, yay, finally, I found something that matches what I'm good at, and that can be me.
That's great. Robert, I'm curious, when did you have your first job? Not necessarily your career path, but how old were you when you had your first job?
Well, actually, I was in high school when I had my first job. I started out recycling. And then the second year when I was in high school, I had worked in the school office filing papers. But that wasn't what I wanted to do. And then when I turned 16, I decided to give vocational school a try because I thought I wanted to be an auto mechanic. So I took auto service for 2 years. And then my interest changed and I wanted to do computers. So they put me in the office skills program because I didn't have no skills with computers. And then I did graduate with a certificate, a technical certificate in office skills.
Okay.
But anyway, after I graduated from high school, I graduated at high school when I was 18, but no, they encouraged me to stay until I was 21 to finish out my educational entitlement. But I felt I really wasn't learning much in school. I wasn't learning the skills that needed to prepare me. Now, for an example, with the office skills program, we worked on Apple computers. Now, in the real world, they're working on Microsoft Word, Excel, PowerPoint, all that good stuff. So that's when I had to go back to vocational rehab. They helped me with a job at first in 1996 and 1997. And then I went back in 2000 after working a few retail jobs and I was getting bored with it. And I said, this isn't what I want to do. So I went back to the DVR in 2000, well, with the New Jersey Division of Vocational Rehab in 2000. And I explained to my counselor, I said, look, I don't want to be in retail or fast food for the rest of my life. So I was interested in this training program, which taught me Word, Excel, PowerPoint. We did an assessment and I went for the first day. I liked it. It was hands-on. And I learned Word, Excel, Access for the first time. And I completed the program with a certificate. And then later, that's how I wound up, again, starting out working for the state. And I'm kind of glad I went back for more training because at first I was told that college wouldn't be an option because I was told that when I first went to DVR, that when they did the assessment the first time, they're like, you'll be better off in a job. College wouldn't be appropriate for you. In a way, I kind of felt bad because I did good on when I took the test with vocational rehab, they tested my intellectual ability and they asked for my interests. Now, when I was in high school, I had an IEP and they claimed I was reading at a fourth and fifth grade level. Now, when I took the test for vocational rehab, which is measuring the adult stuff, I came out at a high school grade level and everything. So I felt, why am I feeling like I'm being cheated when I was doing better all along? And my IEP should have said I'm working at a high school level instead of working at some lousy grade school level. And that's when I realized, too, I did better than what I was saying. And I think the reason why I didn't want to stay until I was 21 because I felt like I was being held back in school. And I'm kind of glad I didn't stay until I was 21 because it wouldn't have done me no good anyway. Because back then there were no training programs for no college programs for students with disabilities. There wasn't much available. And when I was coming up, there wasn't hardly anything available for students with disabilities.
It's definitely changed. I'm Robert. I'm thinking we're around the same age because I graduated from high school in 1995. So I'm thinking maybe I might be a little bit older, but
well,
I think
I'm 44.
Yep. So am I. So, yep. But I think a lot of things have changed. I'm curious. You said that, you know, you went back, you looked at your interests, and was the job coach helpful for you?
No, because when I went to DVR, at first I wanted an office job because I felt I went to with little tech school, and then we couldn't get an office job because of what I told you earlier in the podcast, I didn't have the proper skills. Even though I knew how to file and answer phones and that stuff, it was the computer part of it that I lacked because we worked on Apple computers and the program that I was in. And out in the real world, they were using Microsoft Word. And that's why I didn't get the job, because I went on several different office interviews and I never got a call back, a letter, no nothing. And that's probably why I didn't get the job that I wanted. So my job coach said, would you be happy working in the store? And I said, yeah, me being gullible. I took the job in the store, which only lasted for a few months, and then I quit. And after the job coach left, that's when they started treating me like crap. And after that, that's when I quit. I didn't give them, I just up and left.
So, Robert, what do you think has been the most, I guess, impactful or helpful thing in terms of your journey towards, you know, where you are now?
Well, I had to do mostly everything myself because growing up, I didn't receive much services. I didn't receive no assistive technology. The only thing I received in high school was speech therapy. I received no occupational therapy, no physical therapy, no career awareness classes, none of that stuff. And even on my IEP, I didn't learn daily living skills, no employment skills, none of that stuff. And that's what really hurt me, because I thought I was learning what I was supposed to learn, and then kind of find out I wasn't.
That makes sense. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now.
Well, right now I work for the state of New Jersey Department of Human Services Division of Developmental Disabilities as an assistant coordinator, transition information specialist. I would say motivational speaker too, because my job is to go out and speak to students, parents, and school professional about the different programs that are available with people with disabilities, and plus share my life experiences and tell the students the choices that they have now versus the choices that I had when I was growing up. And that they don't have to worry about going through the struggles that I went through, because there's a lot more out here for them than there was for me.
That's great. I had a similar job where I got to train school personnel working with students who would be exiting high school with disabilities on options available. So I think that is huge. I think a lot of times teachers and families and students aren't aware of opportunities that are out there. So I'm sure you're having a huge impact on so many people.
Well, yes. I didn't know that my lived experience could help so many people. At first, I didn't think that until I read this book called Job Search for People with Disabilities. It's by GIST Publishing. And that's where I learned how you can use your disability as an advantage to get a job, like say in human services or working for a agency that serves people with disabilities. You can show you can use your lived experience, even if you don't have the college experience. As long as you have that lived experience, that can equate for the college experience. And that's the same thing with state government.
I think there's a lot of folks out there that have been successful that may not have, you know, gone to college, but like you said, have had some amazing and really impactful life experiences that, you know, by, like you said, able to share, it has an influence on others. So definitely wonderful. Robert, is there anything else you want to share with our listeners today? Just words of advice or, you know, anything else you'd like to share?
Well, before I get going to words of advice, I'm going to say that I've learned a lot, and it takes hard work, self-determination. Nobody's going to do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. And the people that are out there, I encourage you, and people with disabilities, sometimes you have to tell your story in order to get people to listen. See, the more people tell their story, the more people are going to start listening and open up their eyes and say, hey, this person can do a lot, then we're giving them less credit than what they're capable of. And then after a while, they're going to say, this person can do this, this person can do that. Why are we holding these people back? So sometimes you have to say something and speak up and let them know you're a person too. You have needs too. And you have rights also. You're just like any other human being. Nobody's perfect. Now, if that's the case that nobody's perfect, the whole world would be classified in categories and categorized. Everybody would be in special needs or special ed. But that's not the case. We shouldn't take certain people and just because they do things differently and put them in a category and say, oh, just because you're, it doesn't work that way. All we got to do is just take the time, evaluate the person. You'll be surprised at what you'll learn about the person instead of assuming that they can't do anything. Because there's, when I speak to my students, I see a lot of potential. I don't see labels, classifications, none of that stuff. And that's what it's all about. Everybody has wants and needs. Everybody has preferences and those, and everybody deserves to live the life that they want. And just because somebody has a disability doesn't mean they have to clean toilets, work at a fast food restaurant, ring up clothes, or do jobs that nobody else want to do. They can do the jobs that anybody else can do and sometimes better. And also learn too that sometimes people with disabilities are more grateful to have a job than these so-called non-typical peers who rather slouch and complain and whine. So I'm just thankful I got to where I am today, being that somebody gave me a chance.
No, that's wonderful, Robert. And I agree. People need to do what they want to do, not necessarily what is, you know, a quick placement or an easy place to find a job. So really having that good job match makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wish I knew early on that my lived experience would have helped me get into the field that I'm in now. And I did attempt to go to Mercer County Community College for 2 semesters, and it was the biggest mistake I ever made because I wasn't ready for college and I had to start out the remedial courses. And I couldn't keep up with the students, I did have accommodations, but they didn't have too many good accommodations back then. The only accommodations they gave me were extended time on tests, and that was basically it. Because back then they didn't have no assistant, they didn't have no tablets where you can put your books on the tablet and have it read to you, or all this other stuff like Kurzweil and all this other stuff. Even though that they have all this other stuff that they have now, I still wouldn't want to go back to college because the structure. See, I was in a self-contained class when I was in high school, and going to college, you have one teacher for each subject, and they're not. And when you're in college, it's more about having access to the curriculum, as with high school, it's more about success. And it's two different worlds. When you're in secondary school, it's more like entitlement. Now, when you get into the college level and adult system, it's more about eligibility. And just because you had a special need in high school doesn't mean you're going to be eligible for everything when you become an adult, because they're more strict. So that's what you have to learn too. You have to weigh the pros and cons of each. But there's a lot of supports on either side of the, whether you're in school or whether you're an adult.
You are absolutely correct. You know, and I guess I used to do a lot of work with trying to explain that to, you know, students and families and school personnel, that it looks a little bit different. And, you know, how can we do a better job of matching the two systems so that it isn't such a change when someone exits high school to, you know, receive similar supports, but also, you know, how can we prepare students before they're exiting high school so they're more successful? So,
I think the colleges need to look at what the students are actually learning in high school and modify the curriculums. Because a lot of these college curriculums, a lot of these courses aren't related to what they're going to be doing on a job. For example, why should you have to take an English course where you have to write 20 or 30 pages, and if you're not going to be doing that much writing in the first place?
And I think it depends where you're going, and it probably depends on, you know, what your major is. But yeah, I know it is. I mean, I often think that when you're in college, you do have more options to take classes that are more specific to your actual, you know, career path. But oftentimes, you know, when people exit high school, they're young. And I, you know, I thought I was going to be a teacher when I went to college for the rest of my life, but my career path has changed. So it is complicated. And, you know, I think as time goes on, things change and adapt. And as an example, with the assistive technology, there's a lot more. I was amazed, you know, pens that can record to help with note taking. Like you said, being able to listen to things instead of having to read everything. So just a lot of assistive technology that is helpful to not, you know, just people with disabilities, but I think everyone, you know, in society. So but before we head off, I just want to thank you again, Robert, for joining us. And do you have any parting words before we hop off for today?
Well, actually, what I meant by taking courses in college that aren't really necessary, like for an example, a claims investigator, an insurance investigator, according to the U.S. Department of Labor Bureau of Statistics, all you need is a high school diploma. But yet they want you to have a bachelor's degree, an associate's degree. But if all you really need is a high school diploma, why should you have to go to college if you want to be an investigator? And even if you want to be an accountant, all you need is a certain amount of credits. Why can't they just create a certificate program instead of making people take all these courses that they don't have to take? That's what I'm trying to say. A lot of professions don't really need a college degree. But yet they claim if you take all these extra courses, it guarantees a job. No, it doesn't. And the parting words that I have before we go, I just want to say thanks for giving me the opportunity to speak. And whatever path, and for the people out there with disabilities, whatever path you choose, never settle for anything less than your best. If you want to be, let's say, a carpenter, if you want to work on computers, go for it. Don't let anyone tell you what you can and cannot do. And don't let no employer dictate what you're good for anyway. If you fight for it, because I know I've had a number of different jobs too. So, and one employer even told me, if you don't have a college education, you can't get nowhere. I was like, nope, that's not true. So I left and I went somewhere else. And now I'm happier. And I'm glad I made the decision that I made to leave. Because sometimes you're not going to all, during your lifetime, you're going to have more than one job. And it's best to find a good career and stick with it. And I'm just letting you know, it's possible. It's going to take some time. It's not going to happen overnight, but don't give up. And that's all I have for now.
Thank you, Robert. Hopefully we'll hear from you again. So thanks for joining us for this episode from National APSE. And we look forward to have more folks on this month for National Disability Employment Awareness Month, and listen in.